The nuns are in the news a lot these days. Plenty are speculating about why they're leaving organized religion. Some with good data and research, and others with theories or, well, speculation. But let's back up before we get ahead of ourselves. What do we mean by nuns? And perhaps more importantly, why might we care? The nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not like Maria from The Sound of Music, are more accurately described as the religiously unaffiliated. I should also warn you at the get-go. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of mental math with me this morning, tossing out a few percentages and numbers to contextualize the shifting landscape and why it is getting attention. Regardless of whether you like numbers or not, hang in there with me. There's an interesting story worth paying attention to. So here we go. Amidst the rapidly changing religious landscape in the United States, the unaffiliated are the fastest growing group, now making up nearly 23% of the U.S. adult population. This is an increase of over 7% in the last 7 years, or more than 15 million people who have joined the ranks of the unaffiliated. Three primary groups make up this category: self-identified atheists, agnostics, and those who describe themselves as, quote unquote, nothing in particular. The unaffiliated now make up a greater percentage of the population than Catholics, mainline Protestants, or any other faith besides Christianity. The only group that remains larger than the unaffiliated are the evangelical Protestants, holding on at 25%. At the current rate of growth, however, the religiously unaffiliated will be the largest group in the very near future, if they aren't already. As we reflect together over the next few minutes, I invite you to hold a few questions with me. Because the big reason this topic is on the table this morning is our curiosity about whether Unitarian Universalism might appeal to this group. Listen along with me and consider this question. Think back on your own journey to UUism. Perhaps you were born UU. For many others, you might be former Catholics, former Baptists, or former you fill in the blank. From my initial conversations with you, I know many of you have disaffiliated from your religious upbringings. Departings are not without pain or struggle, and if you've walked through one, you know. What is your story? Did you come to UUism directly? Were you without a community of faith for a while? Did you partner your life with a person of a different religious tradition and find your way here? We each have our stories of how we found our way. Hold on to your journey, your own story of arriving in this fellowship as we explore the nuns. I promise there will be some places of resonance. What I do not know is who will resonate where or why. So what's our starting point? Do people actually have religious backgrounds anymore? The answer is a resounding yes. It turns out only 9% of Americans say they were raised with no religious affiliation, and nearly half of them now identify with some religion. That means the vast majority of the nuns were once affiliated with the religious tradition. So who's leaving and why? The number of unaffiliated adults has been growing across all ages. In the youngest group, the millennials born between 1981 and 1986, more than one-third are nuns, while nearly 90% of the oldest Americans still claim a religious tradition. The unaffiliated are increasing in numbers across all income levels, educational backgrounds, geographic areas, and genders. Catholics and mainline Protestants have seen the greatest losses. Nearly a third of adults say they were raised Catholic, but over 40% of this group no longer identifies with Catholicism. If you're curious like I was, you want to know where Unitarian Universalism falls in these numbers. UUers are counted in the other faiths category. Nationally, Unitarian Universalists make up about 3.3% of the adult population, and that number has not shifted since 2007. Given the story we're talking about this morning, many other religious traditions would shout for joy to be holding steady. But before we get too lost in the numbers or the data, I want to zoom back out a little bit and talk about three subsets of the unaffiliated that I find particularly interesting. The first group is what some scholars are calling the Dones, D-O-N-E-S, sometimes referred to as the D-churched. These people are lifelong churchgoers. They are studied in their tradition. They give, they lead, and yet they become church refugees. They feel like they've heard it all. They're tired of being lectured to, and they're done with having some guy tell them what to do. Just in case you were wondering, yes, more than 90% of senior ministers are still men, and that hasn't changed since 1998. They haven't fallen away from the church, but rather they have intentionally retreated. They say they left because of their religious tradition's judgmental posture. They want space to struggle, and they want a broader definition of morality than sex and substance abuse. They think that morality should include equality, poverty, and unjust economics. They don't want to leave their religious tradition, but they do because they think all the energy goes towards sustaining the organization, and there's no real room for individual creativity and growth. Perhaps this sounds like a familiar story to you. The interesting thing is that when the Dones leave, they're still committed to social justice, though they've decided that their spiritual lives are better off lived outside of religion. Might they find a home here? The second group I want to focus on is the millennials, who are currently 18 to 34, making up the most racially diverse group in American history. Millennials hold liberal views on many political and social issues, ranging from a belief in an activist government to support for same-sex marriage and marijuana legalization. This group is three times as likely to be religiously unaffiliated as the oldest generation. One of the key reasons that millennials have left religious institutions is their perception about how they treat gay and lesbian people. A third of millennials say negative teachings or treatment of gay and lesbians was a somewhat or very important factor in their disaffiliation. Researcher Daniel Cox, speaking of the difficulty of churches attracting millennials, says, "People aren't generally likely to affiliate themselves with an organization with values that are antithetical to their own." That sounds about right. Might unaffiliated millennials find a home here? The subset of the adult population that has the greatest percentage of Dones are those who identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. I should note, unfortunately, transgender persons were not measured in the data set, and this is a significantly troubling reality. Certainly, transgender persons are the most vulnerable and assaulted of all queer persons. Looking at the information we do have, there are nearly twice as many unaffiliated gay, lesbian, and bisexual adults as there are straight people. Fully 41% claim to be unaffiliated. That's versus 22% of the adult population, if you're wondering. You might say that gay, lesbian, and bisexual adults got the message from religious institutions loud and clear. And yet, this seems to be one place where the story is turning in the other direction. More LGB Americans are claiming to have a faith tradition than ever before. Just 2 years ago, in 2013, nearly half of LGB Americans claimed no religious tradition, versus 41% now, a shift of 7% in a short time period. Maybe like the Dones, they did not want to walk away, and now as the tides are beginning to turn, they're finding more room in religious communities. I know LGBT persons find a home here. Might unaffiliated LGBT persons find a home here too? So where does that leave us? Did any of you find yourself anywhere in the story? Here's what we know about unaffiliated Americans. 2/3 of them say they believe in God. More than half say they often feel a deep connection with nature and the earth, while more than 1/3 classify themselves as spiritual but not religious, and 1 in 5 say they pray every day. In addition, most religiously unaffiliated Americans think that churches and other religious institutions benefit society by strengthening community bonds and aiding the poor. That said, only 10% say they are looking for a religion that would be right for them. But that's no small number. It's over 5 million people, and just imagine what it might be if they felt welcome and felt like the justice being sought included equality, poverty, and unjust economics. I happen to know several of you showed up on Tuesday night to join a call to action against payday lenders. I know others of you participate in speaking down barriers, focusing on racial justice and reconciliation. And as Pat said a few minutes ago, several more of you went yesterday to the Gun Sense rally. I also know this fellowship began in the midst of the civil rights struggle and has been welcoming, affirming, and championing the rights of LGBT people long before any other religious organizations dreamed of doing so. And I know countless more of you seek justice in this community in a multitude of ways. For many of the religiously unaffiliated, these things matter tremendously, enough to leave the religious traditions in which they were raised. But how might the nuns find their way here? This week I had the chance to talk with someone who's been a member here for over 30 years. She grew up Catholic, but struggled to remain after some turns in life where the church was less than supportive. She told me her friend invited her to Goof, and she's been here ever since. Not only that, during the welcome this morning, she invited a friend. Sometimes the simplest ideas are the most profound. Perhaps you'd share your story about how you found Goof with me, with one another. There's much to celebrate. There's much to tell. These stories are ones we do not want to lose track of. We cannot lose track of, as they are the embodied version of our covenant, the embodiment of the 7 principles of UUism. They are who we are and who we long to be.
I could listen to her with 1 foot in the fire. Okay, there's now going to be a couple of minutes of chaos. Be patient with us as the choir moves into the second and third pews down here, and the Norwood and Lavash and Yaki families move down to that front pew and this front pew. You may begin moving now. Oh, this is not near as bad as I was scared it was going to be. Walter was not expecting all these folks that he's now hugging and kissing. And Chris, if you want to start the slideshow, I'd say we can start the slideshow. When we think of the names Joe Norwood, Walter Lavash, and Jim Yaki, we hear these words. It's the people. When it comes right down to it, it's the people who matter most. Those words are from Joe Norwood. And he has come to a conclusion that many of us feel at a deep level about this place. It's people. The people are the reasons we are celebrating the lives of these three men. They have made friends and been friends and lived up to the expectations of friendship over and over here. And although many of you do not know them, please lend me your ears for the next 9.5 minutes to get to know them. And please join us in the fellowship hall after this service to learn even more about them and enjoy a potluck lunch to celebrate their mutual birthdays. And if you didn't bring anything for the potluck, let me assure you that there is plenty of food back there. We will feed you, potluck or not. Getting to know these men a little better this week has been a process of getting to know their connections. And the take-home message of their lives is about connection. Believe it or not, the take-home message of this day is their connection to all of you. You have created, along with them, and their collective involvement of more than 80 years here, a place where people can feel connected to each other. I got that from Yaki. He said if it were a religion, we would have to agree to common beliefs. As he put it, we affirm some common principles that any Methodist or Catholic could subscribe to. All three of them spoke of their love for this place and what you have accomplished here in actions like the UU World of Children, Audrey's Closet Thrift Shop, Pat's Pantry Food Ministry, the Roland McFerrin House, and our work with Gain Families to bring homeless folks into our building twice a year for housing, food, and fun. We are reminded this morning that Walter Lavash was the volunteer administrator of our congregation when we moved here into this building in 1996. I've never quite been so upstaged, but it's okay, I'll get through it. Walter and Bill Wunsch, along with others, built the elevator. He and Joe Norwood climbed a rather long and rickety aluminum extension ladder to take the cross off the top of this building. Joe remembers that the ladder waved rather dramatically and made a sound that went woo, 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 which caused Joe to think, well, if the devil is going to get me for taking this cross down, here we go. As you can see this morning, the devil did not get Joe. That's the devil we don't believe in. And let me assure you, Joe, that the devil ain't never going to get you because they ain't no devil. These three men have served in leadership in lots of different jobs. Jim Yockey was elected president of the congregation his second year as a member. Let that stand as a warning to all of you who are now in your second year of membership. Jim's wife, Veronica, said of him that he is a better Christian than anybody she knows who claims to be a Christian. That reminds me of Glenn Rowley's statement that the best Christian he ever knew was an atheist. And it also reminds me of Sammy Hauser's observation. When Sammy was a 12-year-old, she was watching some religious conflict on television, and she said, "If I had been God, I would have made everybody an atheist." In their long walks to this celebration of all our lives, these men have been devoted husbands and fathers. Norwood and Lavash worked with the Boy Scouts. Yaki has mentored many young folks in finance and the practical skills of using tools. We owe Yaki for our beautiful labyrinth. It is now being used by many people in the community who have no other connection to this place. Just as we provide space to the Pride of Greenville Chorus, the Gender Benders, and Codependence Anonymous, this place that all of you have built and maintained together touches lives that we are only barely aware of, in ways that help us build together the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. For Walter Lavash, who has weathered many a health-related crisis, this place and those of you in it have been his path to recovery and good health. I know some of you struggle with this kind of talk, but Walter and Carol believe it profoundly at a deep level. They believe that this is the truth, that Walter was loved into good health. And this is what Winston Churchill said about the truth. It is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is. Joe Norwood is deeply grateful for many good memories of being here and being part of all of you. But he has a keen and endearing memory of sitting in court with Jennifer Slade, our beloved former minister. Jennifer held Joe's hand while Joe's wife, Elaine, stood trial for assault and battery in a high and aggravated manner. Elaine was escorting women into an abortion clinic, and a protester got into her car and tried to talk Elaine's escort out of having an abortion. Elaine asked the woman to get out of her car, and when she refused, Elaine bumped the woman's leg with the car door. And as Elaine remembers it, when she refused a second time, she bumped her leg a little harder. Elaine says that was the high and aggravated part of the assault. Jennifer Slade's hand-holding was one of the many steps that brought us here today. The many loves you have shown Walter Lavash can be counted among those many steps that brought all of us here today. Those loves prompted Walter to say on Friday that now he is inspired to appreciate every day, every minute of his life. There's a sign hanging in Carol and Walter's living room that reads, "Just another day in paradise." And they mean it. They see their lives here in our beloved Southland as truly another day in paradise. And Jim and Veronica Yockey, out of their passionate devotion to each other, to the universal steps embodied in that labyrinth out in our memorial garden, believe so deeply in compassion and generosity embodied in this place all of you have built together. Yes, even our first-time visitors. I was only given 10 minutes this morning to celebrate here in the sanctuary, but I've been told I might say another word or two in the fellowship hall as we gather for a potluck lunch and birthday party. I want to close with a few words for our first-time visitors. This has been a very unusual Sunday in the life of this congregation. Please come back and give us another chance. We are not the Clemson Tigers, and we are not the Carolina Panthers. We are not having an undefeated season, and we are not fixing to play for the national championship or on our way to the Super Bowl. You have experienced this morning the passionate preaching of Sally Surratt, the glorious music of our choir, the readings, the joys and sorrows of a community that boasts these three birthday boys and a gaggle of brilliant children and everybody in between. This is only a hint of who we are and what we stand for. Please come back. Give us another chance. We are not a religion. We are a gathering place for like-minded people. What you will find if you come back, and we certainly hope you will, is not so much common belief, but common acceptance. If you want to worship the flying spaghetti monster, you will find acceptance here. That acceptance may look like baffled confusion, but you will still find acceptance here. And in the end, your coffee cup will sit next to everybody else's coffee cup. You will find a wink, a hug, a shared laugh, and the determination to work for that better world, even as we don't take ourselves very seriously. That's what kept Norwood, Lavash, and Yaki here. Surely you can spare us one more Sunday. Now, as Charlie plays the familiar Christmas carol, We Three Kings, all of you are invited to sing along.